Hello, and welcome to Create a Way with Art Abundance. I'm your host, Wendy Fadan, and today I'll be interviewing Jim Ballenbacher. He is an author of The Signers, The Adventures of the Cushman Family, a historical fiction novel. A little bit about Jim. Jim Ballenbacher taught American government and American history for 31 years at Midview High School and Sandusky High School, both located in northern Ohio. Recently retired, he coached for 41 years as a high school assistant and head football coach. He graduated from Irem College in Ohio, majoring in political science and minoring in history. While at Irem, he played 2 years of football and 4 years of baseball. Jim is a member of the Irem College Athletic Hall of Fame. He holds a master's degree in education from Ashland University. Jim lives in Huron, Ohio, on the shores of Lake Erie, where he and his wife Patty raised 4 children. When not writing historical fiction centering on the American Revolutionary period or attempting to work on his golf game, he and his wife spend time playing with their 3 grandchildren. So I'm very honored to be interviewing Jim today. We're talking about your book, The Adventures of the Cushman Family. And it is a historical fiction novel, I know. One little question in advance here. Is the Cushman family an actual family or is it a fictitious family?
Well, and thanks for having me on, Wendy. I appreciate it. Yeah. It is a fictional family. However, there is a little bit of history behind it in that my mother's side of the family can trace their ancestry back to the Mayflower, to Isaac Allerton, who was the first mate, I believe, to Bradford. And the second generation, matter of fact, his wife was pregnant on board the Mayflower, gave birth to a daughter in Massachusetts. So the first child born of the Pilgrims. And I believe she died in wedlock. And he married another gal who came over on the Fortune the following year, resupply ship. And they had 29,000 children. They had 18 children and they lived into their 80s, 90s. Well,
wow.
On the second generation, one was named Benjamin Cushman. And so I used that name as my fictional character. Yeah. So that's sort of a little historical background on that.
That's pretty interesting to me. As a fellow writer, I'm very interested to know how people, come up with their characters, and especially you having this historical reference in your book. I was interested in that. So thanks for answering that. Appreciate it.
No problem.
So I know you've got a lot of experience teaching history, and how did that and your interest in writing historical fiction kind of? I'm wondering if your history with teaching kind of morphed into this interest into writing historical fiction, or tell us more about that journey.
I taught at 2 high schools, Midview High School and Sandusky High School. And at Midview, I taught American history and Western Civilization 1 and 2. That was from the beginning of the Fertile Crescents, Egypt, Rome, Greece. And Western Civilization 2 is basically from the Renaissance to basically modern times in Western culture. And then at Sandusky, I taught American government. Okay. So I taught history, American history, Western civilization, and American government. So that was sort of my background. I was never really interested in writing. I was a coach, so we spent a lot of time as a football coach. So I coached for 41 years. But when I retired, I thought I'd give it a try. My wife was still working. So I just had this idea in my head and I started writing, and I didn't even tell anybody for about a month. Finally, she says, "What are you doing all day?" And I said, "Well, I've been writing, believe it or not, a historical fiction novel." So, And then I had a lesson plan at Sandusky I did with our government class, which was my favorite 3 days. What I would do is it was about the Declaration of Independence. And so the first day we'd actually get out our books and I had the kids read like one paragraph, you know, they're small paragraphs. And we'd discuss, you know, because a lot of times there were words in there that the kids didn't understand. Hmm. So we discuss, you know, each line in the Declaration of Independence. That took all day. Then the next day I'd give a little lecture on it, and then we'd have question and answer. And then I had them read about a 4-page article, magazine article. And I think it was written by Rush Limbaugh's father, who was a superintendent of a school and a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
And he wrote about the signers, what happened to them. And the kids, so I would have the kids read that. And it was pretty interesting on, you know, because every one of them had a bounty on their heads. About half of them had they were hunted by the British. They all were hunted by the British. They all, at one time or another, had to hide somewhere. About half of them had their homes burnt down, you know, because they were fairly wealthy men. And so they had estates and, you know, large houses. They were burnt down to the ground. Half of them joined the militia or joined the Continental Army. 7 of them were killed. So it was, they really did pay the price, you know. It'd be interesting to see if any modern politicians would do such a thing in a situation, you know. I have a lot of doubt with that. But so I always told the kids, I said, you know what, this would be a great book to write about, you know, these guys and what happened to them after the Declaration was signed. Wow. And so that was sort of the, you know, I might as well write it myself when I retired, you know, I had a little time on my hands. So that's sort of the background of me going into, you know, that was the main point. And I went from there.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I've always heard that phrase, write the book that you want to read. So that really.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
The revolutionary period, specifically, I'd love for you to just express why that period is so interesting to you particularly.
When I grew up, my parents' generation was, you know, what Tom Brokaw called the greatest generation. You know, they grew up during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
You know, my dad went off to war. My dad was a fairly good athlete and never played sports in high school because he had to work 3 jobs, not to buy a car or a bike, but to help feed the family because they had lost their family farm. And so I always loved my dad's friends and my mom's friends. They're just wonderful human beings. They were just mm-hmm. cool, you know, tough, but, you know, gentle. I mean, humble, but, you know, just great people. And then, you know, I'm thinking, man, what a great generation. I agreed with Brokaw. But then, you know, in teaching history, I'm going, wow, the revolutionary generation, the Jeffersons, the Washingtons, the Adamses, the Franklins, the Hancocks, the Hamiltons. Wow, what a group of men, and to come together at that particular time in history was obviously one of the most earth-shattering times in human history. The American Revolution, changed human history dramatically in one of the most positive ways in human history. So I always thought of those men, Jefferson was like a probably one of the most brilliant men in history. Washington was incredibly, what a leader. You know, and these were very interesting men. You know, most Americans think of these guys as these old, you know, guys that wore wigs and stuff. And they were really just men with lots of imperfections. And, but they had, when the history called, they stood up and they became giants, and they still are giants to this day.
Wow. Yeah. When I was in high school, I had a history teacher that kind of put me to sleep.
we tend to do that sometimes, you know.
Well, I don't know, because I talked to my daughter, you know, she's one of those A students, you know, she's very, very does so well in school. But whenever I hear about her teachers, the way she talks about the subjects that they're teaching, she sounds so, it sounds like they're very passionate about what they teach. And so I'm guessing that you are probably one of those passionate teachers that was very not so easy for kids to fall asleep in your class, maybe. I feel like that's what a good history teacher is, you know, one who actually is really passionate about the material and very interested in what you're teaching. And I think that probably comes through and helps students to also get interested in it.
Yeah. I think the subject matter is, you know, I was passionate. I was, you know, yeah. I was gonna, you know, the football coach came out. I mean, a coach is a teacher and a teacher is a coach. It's the same thing. I just didn't swear as much in the classroom like I did on a football field, you know. But yeah, and you know, and if there are students that obviously don't like particularly like history, whether you're passionate or not. So I had a really long, you know, yard or ruler, you know, the yardstick, and I just whack them on the head, and if you know, they fell asleep. So. I had it going both ways. I was loud and I had a weapon.
So no, times have changed.
I kept them all asleep, or I kept them all awake that way.
Yeah, thank goodness my history teacher didn't have one of those. Yeah. I would have gotten whacked a couple times. Oh boy. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing with history. It's too bad that, you know, as young people, you know, when you're a teenager, you don't necessarily realize that what history is about. It's about stories, you know?
Yes.
It yeah. really is about, you know, it's true stories. You know, it's when you realize, I think with us in the, you know, the digital age, the age of media, and we see things on TV that aren't real all the time and on YouTube that aren't real. We tend to, you know, I think the young people are desensitized and they don't necessarily, sure. It doesn't click that the stuff we're learning about, you know, this is just the flesh of what actually happened, you know, the reality of it.
I agree. I mean, I used to start every government class. I'd tell the kids, I'd say, hey, you're about to start the most important class you'll ever have. This mm-hmm. is the most important class you will ever have.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go, come on, English, math is much more important. You know, some smart aleck would say gym class is more, you know. I go, no, this is most important because you live in a democratic republic. And I said, now, if I was teaching, you know, government in Cuba, I'd just, and then I had a picture of Castro, and I'd go, and I'd hold up a picture of Castro. I go, this is your leader. Listen to what he says or you die. End of class. You know, we'll have a test, and then, you know, then we'll go on to something else. That's the end of government class. It would take 10 seconds to teach a class.
Wow.
I go, you have to learn to be a, you know, a critical thinker, viewer, watcher, listener, and otherwise, because these people will try to fool you. And we've seen a ton of that, and with the modern media the way it is and everything. And so Americans, if you're not a critical thinker, viewer, watcher, you're going to elect some, you know, real idiots in there. And so we have a tendency to, you know, not be critical about that. So, you know, I don't know if anybody bought that, but I still believe it, you know. So, you know, as long as we still have a free republic, you know, hopefully that's still true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, let's see. I'd like to talk more about the, it is interesting that you've got this combination of teaching history and athletics. And in your information on your website, I was very interested that both history and athletics inspired you to write historical fiction. I'd like to hear about how those two meld together for you, because that's, to me, a non-athletic person. I'm very interested to see how those two relate to you and how they come together.
Well, growing up, my main interest was, sports. I guess I did okay in school because my parents expected that of me and I didn't want to disappoint them. So they didn't say, hey, you got to have A's. But, you know, if you brought home a C and he goes, oh, that's as good as you can do, You know, that was like, I'd rather get hit, you know, than, you know, that kind of condensation kind of thing. But
yeah,
so I did well in school. I could have done a lot better if I had tried more, but I was more, you know, I wanted to play professional baseball or professional football or basketball, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, but what, you know, I always tell my old coaches and I hear it from my players is the beauty of, say, let's say football is you learn at a very early age. I don't care how big you are or how talented you are. Someone is going to knock you down. Mm. And they are, it's a tough physical game. Not everybody can play football. Someone's going to knock you down. In baseball, you're going to strike out. If pitcher's going to, you're going to go 0-for-4. You know, in basketball, you're going to have a shooting slump, whatever. And so those negative things, you either get back up, you know, keep going up to the plate, keep shooting. You learn to handle adversity. Mm. And what is life but, you know, plenty of adversity. We all go through it. We all are going to go through adversity in life. I think one of the worst things we've done as parents and educators is not let these kids fail. These kids need to learn to fail at a very young age. The sooner they learn to fail, the sooner they learn to bounce back from that failure, that is not typically going to be the end of your life if you fail a test or if you strike out or if you miss a tackle. And so I thought that was some of the most vital lessons I ever learned in a classroom. And I always thought of a football field as a classroom, one of my most important classes I ever took. It wasn't with chairs and desks, it was between white lines. But, you know, I learned basically, I think the greatest lesson is to learn to bounce back from adversity. And that has played a huge role in my life. And it's allowed me to go get through some really tough times. And I think it's true with kids in band. It doesn't have to be athletic. It'd be kids in band, kids in choir, kids in music. You know, you miss a line in a musical, you miss a note, you know, and, you know, these are good things. I used to have to flunk kids in government class because it's, you know, mandatory. You had, in order to graduate, you had to pass government. And so my counselors would always yell at me, but I go, look, they didn't do the job. So, and they'd come back and I swear, I bet 99% of them got A's the next time. I said, well, what caused you to go from F to an A? Well, I listened this time.
Hmm.
I did my homework this time. I studied this time, you know, so I think they learned a really valuable lesson at age 17, 18, that they don't have to learn at age 29 or 30, like on the job or in a bad marriage or something like that.
Yeah.
So I guess that, so then with the history aspect of that, you know, boy, you can't imagine a more adverse time in human history than, you know, the most powerful army and navy bearing down on your little 13 colonies and, you know, threatening to, you know, send you to the gallows. Cause you know, these guys were all, if you signed that Declaration of Independence, you committed treason. Treason was punishable by death by hanging.
Wow.
And so those guys knew it when they signed it, and you know, they pulled the greatest upset in human history. I mean, the British Army and Navy was the dominant in the world at that time. And these guys were a bunch of farmers, you know, teachers, you know, craftsmen, you know, but they could shoot. they all could handle a gun.
Well, let's see. I'd love to, regarding adversity around that topic, what's something that you believe has been the toughest adversity that you're willing to talk about in your life that you've overcome?
I would imagine like when I was in eighth grade, my mom's sister, my aunt and uncle, very close to our family. We'd spend the summers with them. And my uncle had played Major League Baseball, played pitch for the old St. Louis Browns. And one summer evening, my mom and dad and my aunt and uncle were out to dinner, and he had a heart attack at age 40. My dad drove him to the hospital about 20 miles away, going about 100 miles an hour, and he passed away. Yeah. So, death at an early age. And then 2 years later, my oldest sister passed away at age 21. So it was sort of like my Uncle Cliff was like a second father. And, you know, my oldest sister, obviously she was a little bit older than me, but we were close. And so dealing with that adversity was, I thought for a young age, was really hard.
Yeah.
And so yeah,
how old were you again?
I was in eighth grade, and then my sister passed away like when I was, I think, a freshman or sophomore in high school. So, you know, that was hard on our family. And but, you know, I look back at some of the other things that, you know, people have had to endure. It was a lot worse than that, but still it's painful for you because, you know, your universe is you in your family, you know, like we all are. We have our own little universes.
Yeah. It does force you to grow up maybe a little bit faster than other kids had to do.
And going 0-for-4 is not quite so devastating, you know, and or throwing an interception is not so devastating, you know, but you know how it is. But yeah, so you know, and then just you know, life in general, you know, life, you know, sometimes will throw you some curveballs, which is, you know, so I've learned that, you know, my uncle and my sister and my parents who both passed away, they sure don't want me sitting around moping, and they want me to go out and live life and be a positive impact on society and my family. And
that's
we've always tried to maintain that attitude throughout my life.
Absolutely. So about putting your book out, what was that process like for you? It's independently published, right? Or is it in a,
correct.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So yeah, when I wrote the book, it's basically, I did casual reading, you know, as a football coach, you didn't have a lot of time, but yeah, you know, I read like Tom Clancy and Vince Flynn and Robert Ludlum, you know, Ian Fleming, you know, James Bond, that kind of thing. So I was like that. So when I wanted to write it, I wanted to write an adventure story, an action adventure story. And then I thought I'd bring in the twist of the history lesson around the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So it's more about an adventure story based on the Cushmans, but they're running into Jefferson. Cushman's best friend is Thomas Jefferson, grown up from kids.
Oh, wow.
And then he comes to Philadelphia right as they're about to declare liberty. And he breaks up an assassination plot on the leaders of the Continental Congress. And then it sort of goes from there. So it's an exciting adventure. So if you think it's going to be a history book, it's not. Huh. It's an adventure book, but you are going to get a history lesson, you know, unbeknownst to. So people that have read it have said that that's what they liked about it, you know. And So I was done with this book probably 8-9 years ago. And so I had a friend of mine who wrote a book, and he was advising me, and I go, now what? I got it done. He goes, well, you got to get an agent. I go, how do you get one of those? And so he goes, well, there's a website, and they're all the agents are mostly in New York City. So you send in, you know, letters of introduction, and they ask you for, you know, like 2 chapters, 3 chapters or what have you. And so I'd send it off. And so about a month later, I called my buddy back and I said, hey, I just signed with an agent for 3 years. He goes, you liar. And I said, no, I did. And they liked it. And I go, I got two offers, and I went with this one company. And he goes, no, you're lying. And he goes, I know guys that have written all their lives, they've never got an agent. And I go, no, I got one. I'll show you the contract, you know. And they did put it in front of this company, put it in front of every major publishing company at the time. And I have, you know, literally 20 to 30 really wonderfully written rejection notices. You know, they're awful nice when they let you down. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't good enough, but you really did a good job, that kind of thing. So my agent said, you know, if you write a sequel or a prequel to this, he goes, I think I can sell it if you have 2 books. So I went to work. I wrote a prequel. And the prequel has the same Cushman family. Now you're going to get more of his brothers and his dad involved in this one. And this time, instead of centering around the Declaration of Independence and Thomas Jefferson, it's going to center around the start of the French Indian War and George Washington. And so sort of like Forrest Gump a little bit, you know, where I got my main characters around all these famous people.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that book, I finished that book and I sent it to them and they put it in front of, and same thing, you know, a lot of rejection notices. So at that point, my 3-year contract was up with my agent. And so we weren't seeing a little bit eye to eye on that second book. We went our separate ways and I've been trying to find an agent ever since and haven't. So I went the independent publishing route with Page Publishing and they did a really good job with me. There's my grandkids. Hi, buddy. Can you say hi? Say hi. Say hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Oh, I love that voice.
Okay. So you go with Nini, okay? I've been trying to get Page Publishing was great. They put it out there, but you know, it's like, have you self-published before or have you been published or so you know how the publishing field is. It's changing all the time and it's still changing. And I have my second book fully edited. I'm ready to go. I'm not sure if I'm going to go with Page or if I'm going to try something different. And there may be something different out there for me. So hopefully this summer I'll have that for sale on Amazon. And so I'll have the prequel and the sequel. And I'm working right now on the sequel to The Signers, which is the first book we're talking about. So
cool.
I don't know why I did it that way, but I went, you know, middle, front, back. Don't ask me why.
I was going to ask about that too. So thanks for going into that because I saw that there was a series happening that you were announcing on your website. So that's great.
Yeah. So yeah, the third book, I've got about 2 chapters written. So I got a ways to go on that one. But
yeah.
I'm being in bed. But the second one's done. I just got to figure out this publishing and marketing world, which is very difficult to do. I'd rather write. I enjoy the writing more than I do the marketing and you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, a necessary evil.
yeah, I've been hearing that from a lot of writers.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I am so thrilled that you're able to meet with me today and tell about your journey, your stories, and your history. I'm just thrilled. And I got to say, I'm definitely sold on your book. And I know my family would really enjoy it because they're history buffs. So
great. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So
and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, that's on there. And then I'll be at your event. So I'll bring some extra books up there then too.
Great. Please do. All right. Thanks a lot, Jim. This was great talking to you.
Well, thank you, Wendy. I enjoyed it.
I'm inspired to have an art assignment based on the term history today, of course, in honor of our guest, Jim. He made me think about how history really is about story. For today's art assignment, I'd like you to doodle a little book cover representing your story, your life story. What is the title of your life story? Put that on the cover. What would the cover illustration look like for your story? That could be fun. Just doodle. Don't try to make a masterpiece. This is just for you to play with. Have fun with this and don't bother spending more than 5 minutes on it. These art assignments are really meant to just be thought and creativity provoking exercises. Again, it was a joy to speak with Jim and I'm definitely getting a copy of his book. I know my husband and daughter would be interested. They're both history buffs and interested in that period as well. Once again, blessings on your own creative and your life journey. And remember, if there doesn't seem to be a way, you can always try to create a way. God bless you.